Maybe not on this study. Okay, so we are in our Proverbs study. Dame Wisdom and Madam Folly. I call this their methods. We're going to look at their methods. This is a major metaphor in the book of Proverbs. All right. So, whoops, I don't want to show you this just yet. Yes, in your notes. But, okay, so last time we considered the general passages that dealt with these two subjects and began to contrast their character. In the book of Proverbs, there's two women. One is a loose woman. That represents folly. We're calling her Madam Folly. One is a wise woman. We're calling her Dame Wisdom. All right? So these literary devices are used to teach us things about wisdom in two ways. There's a very literal teaching about wisdom in male and female relationships. So we need to take wisdom in that. And then there's also an extended lesson in wisdom versus folly in general. So we can learn a lot about this. Now, how many of you know the name of Robert Service? Okay, quite a few of us. Okay, so Robert Service actually lived here in Victoria for several years, but he's famous for being in the Yukon and writing Yukon poetry. He has a book called Rhymes of a Rolling Stone. I'm not sure if I have it in my library. My dad used to, so I might have it. But in there is this poem that is the title is a question mark. And I put it in your notes. You can follow along or in the screen. He goes this way. If you had the choice of two women to wed, though of course the idea is quite absurd, and the first from her heels to her dainty head was charming in every sense of the word, and yet in the past, I grieve to state, she never had been exactly straight. And the second, she was beyond all cavil, a model of virtue, I must confess, and yet, alas, she was dull as the devil, and rather a dowd in the way of dress. Though what she was lacking in wit and beauty, she more than made up for in sense of duty. Now suppose you must wed and make no blunder, and either would love you and let you win her. Which of the two would you choose, I wonder, the stolid saint or the sparkling sinner? So that's the question. Okay, that's the question Robert Service asks. Now, he is painting a picture. I think it's a false picture. Okay, it's a picture the world paints that the saint is boring, dull, but faithful. Okay, that's the picture. That's what the world would paint. And I think that in his life, if you read up on Robert Service, you find that he himself was deceived by Madam Folly. I think he's following Madam Folly in his own life. All right, so here's the proposition we're going to consider for this lesson. You are sought by two women. One is wise and the other is trouble. Which will you follow? That's our proposition. Okay, that's what this is all about. So the first section is called The Pursuit of Men. And we're going to look at how at Madam Folly. I'm going to put a couple of passages on the screen. We'll just read through them. I'm not going to lay them out in poetic fashion, just for screen space. The woman of folly is boisterous. She is naive and knows nothing. She sits at the doorway of her house on a seat by the high places of the city, calling to those who pass by, who are making their path straight. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks understanding, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. That's the grave. And then the second passage is from chapter 7. For at the window of my house I looked out through my lattice, and I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense, and he's heading towards Madam Folly. All right, point on our outline is the identity of her prey. So a couple of words that I noted in the text. So who is she looking for? Who is she? Pardon?
The naive.
The naive. All right. Anything else?
Anyone.
Anyone. That's what I put. Anyone. Whoever. But especially the naive are the ones she traps. But she's ready to catch anybody. Yes, Christy?
Why does it equate folly with the same terms that we use to define the symbol, naive and ignorant?
Okay, it doesn't quite. Okay, Proverbs doesn't quite equate them. But, okay, so the naive and the simple are people, let me put it this way. When there is a distinction, it's not always a distinction. Okay, but when there is a distinction, the simple one is the one who has not yet made up his mind. Mm-hmm. And he's ignorant. But when he chooses evil, he becomes the fool. If he chooses wisdom, he learns, right?
Yeah.
And so there is a distinction. The fool is the one who has pursued folly. Whereas the naive is one who could pursue folly. And you will see that distinction somewhat in Proverbs if you look for it.
I do, but I'm confused. Because the woman folly, so the woman, the fool?
Yes, the woman who's a fool, yeah.
Has the same characteristics.
Oh yeah, she is not, she doesn't know anything either. Yeah, fools, okay, that's right, you're right. Okay, fools actually don't know anything.
Yeah.
Okay, but they have chosen folly as their path. Okay. Whereas the naive, if you're going to make a distinction, if somebody is simply naive and not yet a fool, he could be wise if he makes the right choice. Okay? So that's, I think there are, now not every time, as you point out here in this verse, she is naive. Alright, so there are times when they are exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
But there are other times when there's a distinction.
They don't see their future.
That's right.
They don't carry.
Yeah, they're not looking past the end of their nose. That's right. As they say. Okay, now, so the next question. Has to do with the characteristics of her prey. All right, so, well, we probably already talked about this, but what are the characteristics? People that men, those that she's trying to trap, how are they described here?
Foolish,
okay. Anything else?
Oh, naive.
Naive, okay. So the term naive or simple.
And lacking
understanding, Debbie says. All right, so the man who lacks understanding. Now, why are these people the focus of Madame Folly? Why is she especially interested in the naive and the one who lacks understanding or lacks sense?
Because those are the ones that are going to go with her.
Okay, those are the ones that are going to go with her. Those are the vulnerable ones. Okay, so, all right. And so what is it about youth that makes them particularly vulnerable?
When you lack understanding.
Lack understanding. Debbie said lack experience. So a young person, and this is the thing, as we have, you know, your children grow up, you have young men or young women in your house, and they haven't had enough life experience. They tend to be very enthusiastic. They tend to be full of energy, which is good when you're young. Okay, it is, pardon me?
For a short time.
For a short time, yeah. For a short time, yeah. Then they're, yeah. They yeah. But anyway, the point is, these are good things for young people to be, but they do need people to guide them. They need parents. They need people to help them to make wise decisions. And even, let's put it this way, like, let's say you have a parent who is kind of not a very wise person themselves. Yet even they, but just by virtue of life experience, can tell their kid, hey, you keep doing that, you're gonna end up, you know, going in a problem. They may not be as wise as they should be, but most people do gain a little wisdom as they grow older. All right, Gordon, were you gonna add something?
Well, they run on emotion.
They run on emotion, yeah.
Older, you sort of leave emotion behind and run on sense.
Most of the time.
Lots of people in the world run on, but that's where trouble is.
That's right. Yeah. If you're running on emotion, there's trouble for sure.
The wrong choice.
Yeah. Yeah, and it leads you to all kinds of foolish decisions. Yeah. All right. Okay. What else was I going to add? Okay. What makes someone simple and wanting understanding? I'm just probing this idea a little bit. We talked about lack of experience and lack of maturity. But what if somebody is, you know, not talking about a teenager anymore, but they're still simple and foolish and they're in their 20s and 30s? simple and lacking understanding. I said simple and foolish there, didn't I? Okay, but what makes that? What is the essence of that simplicity? How have they failed to develop, I guess? Rob?
Well, sin can be deceptive and it can be rather exciting at times. So if you haven't learned problems with that, you might follow that path.
Okay, so sin can be deceptive and exciting, and you might follow that path. Christy?
They haven't experienced the consequences of discipline.
Okay, so they haven't experienced the consequences of discipline, either from their authorities or from the stupid choices that they're about to make. Right? Yeah. That is a discipline itself. All right, Lee.
I guess I have a question.
Sure.
This foolishness doesn't necessarily equate to, like, poverty and, you know, like, lacking.
Right.
But because there's, I think, highly intelligent, successful people that I would consider, like, have made foolish choices, or even they would look back in their life.
It doesn't mean you're uneducated necessarily. Yeah. That a simple or foolish person. It's a moral ignorance or a spiritual ignorance that we're talking about. All right, Tola.
Naturally, I think all men are foolish.
Naturally.
Yeah, it's only when you have the wisdom of God.
Yes.
That you can understand better.
That's right.
Because the Bible even said, the worldly wisdom is devilish and sensual.
Yes.
Even as a parent, if you don't have Christ,
your
knowledge, your wisdom is foolishness. You might be able to train or direct your children.
Yes.
But as a Christian,
yes,
if you really have Christ in you,
yes,
God, He will always speak to you.
Yes.
In whatever situation your child will be going through.
Yeah, amen. That's absolutely right. So what Tola's saying, if you didn't hear, is that if you're following Christ, you have wisdom from Christ. That's the source of wisdom. And as you try to think about the Bible, and you try to think about how to apply it to your life, you grow in wisdom. And, even somebody in the world who is, they're worldly wise, she points out there's a passage that says the worldly wisdom is devilish and sensual, right? And the things that, there is a kind of wisdom in the world that knows how to navigate the world, but it doesn't know how to navigate spiritual life. And it leads to shipwreck. Absolutely. All right, so that's good. So let's move on to the next. We're going to talk about Dame Wisdom now, and her approach. Here's her passages. This is Proverbs 9:1, verse 6. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat of my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Forsake your folly and live and proceed in the way of understanding. So there's her appeal. There's something to notice about that, but I'm going to read two more. Proverbs 1, 22 and 23. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. So there's that appeal. And one more, Proverbs 8, verses 4 and 5. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, understand prudence, and O fools, understand wisdom. So compare the man wisdom pursues with the man folly pursues. Who are they? The same. Very good. The same man. Okay. So what is different about wisdom's appeal?
Not sensual.
It's not sensual, no. No. Yeah, I think there's a passage, like in this one, it's like she's laying out a banquet, right? And I think there's one for the folly, which I don't have on the screen, but it says, it talks about stolen waters.
Sweet.
And this, yeah, so she, her, her It's indulge yourself, not nourish yourself, but indulge yourself is the difference. All right. So any other comments on that? Okay. I have more questions here. What makes a response to Dame Wisdom different from a response to Madame Folly? Colin.
Madame Folly's like appeal doesn't really ask you to change in any way, but Wisdom is saying forsake your folly.
Okay, that's a good. So Madame Folly is not asking you to change. Okay, Wisdom is asking you to grow, to forsake your folly, to grow. She's asking you to put some effort into it. Okay, and it's very easy to follow, as Gordon was saying, follow your emotions, to follow the path of the world, to go down, you know, just whatever seems good at the time. So folly is easy to follow. But wisdom takes discipline to follow. And that's where I think there's a difference. All right, any other comments on that? If not, we'll move on to the next section. Debbie?
I don't know if this is true, but I'm thinking of something here. Did the foolish woman or whoever she is, did she use the word turn that a lot?
Wondering if she used the word turn.
Whereas wisdom does, so
I would have
turn
to
in, turn from.
Let me go back to Proverbs 9. That's the big one where the two invitations are contrasted. And I don't want to go back to that screen because too much clicking. But that's an interesting question. Does folly ever ask the naive to turn? So let's see. Oh, it does. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. So it's the same thing. So it's not the repentance idea. There goes that theory. Okay. All right. So let's go to the next thing, the product offered. Here now is, first we're going to be looking at, let's see, wisdom. Okay, so this is a negative consequence or something that she's talking about. So, they would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproofs. So they will eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them and the complacency of fools will destroy them. So this is a warning. So what is she warning about here?
Destruction.
If you neglect wisdom, you're warned against death or destruction here. Okay. So there is, folly doesn't give any warnings. But wisdom does. Wisdom warns. You go that other way, you're going to be destroyed. Okay. All right. And then, let's see. The benefits of wisdom, wisdom's teaching. So, I am a little confused here. I think I copied the wrong verse. So let me go to chapter 1, verse 33 is what I wanted, I think. And so don't ignore the verse that's on the screen. You know, I had trouble with this one. I ended up getting, I was going through these notes and looking at my verses and I thought, you know, some of the verses I had picked out were wrong, and then I saw I copied them wrong. Okay, and I did it wrong here too. So not Proverbs 1:22, but 33 is what I want. Here's what it says: "But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil." So what is the benefit of wisdom? I'll read the verse again, and then you can see if you can give me an answer. He who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil.
Huh?
Peace of mind.
Peace of mind. Security, Debbie said. Okay? And said the same thing. So, sorry about the verse being wrong on the screen. So, we'll see if I do better for the next one. This is supposed to be 3:16-17. It is. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. So, what is the benefit of wisdom? And according to these verses. Long life is one. What else can you see there?
There won't be luck.
For me?
No luck.
No lack.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Just trying to interpret the accent. Anyway, that's good. Okay. And peace. All right. Very good. So here's the things like what? Peace, long life, or wealth. So no lack. That's the same thing. Okay. So there is, if you follow wisdom, this is the path to a stable life. All right. So the next one, I've got two verses for this one. 3:18. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who hold her fast. That's 3:18. Then also 7:1-2. My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live. And my teaching is the apple of your eye. So what is the benefit in these two passages of wisdom?
Dependable.
Well,
life.
Okay, Debbie says life and happiness. So that's the one I had, is life, just simply life. Okay, take hold of me and live. Okay, that she's a tree of life. All right. Okay, so next one. 8:6-8. Listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things. For my mouth shall utter truth. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. So how would we describe this fruit or product that Dame Wisdom offers, this benefit?
Truth.
Truth, okay. Any other synonyms?
Righteousness.
Okay. Anybody else have one more? You got two of my three.
No, correct.
Pardon me?
Nothing crooked.
Okay. Well, that's good too. It's not one of mine. I'll give you the mine. Truth or nobility or righteousness are listed in, or mentioned in this verse or this passage. Okay. And we have one more. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. So, I don't know. This one might be a little complicated. What do you think of this one as a benefit of wisdom? Pardon me?
You as the person get wisdom.
Okay, personal wisdom. All right. Anything else?
Justice.
Okay, justice. Okay. There's one more thing than this verse I think you should notice. Debbie says power. All right. Well, I put a sound mind. Oh, I messed up here. Oops, let's go back. Okay, so I'll give you, I had sound mind, strength, and leadership. Somehow I lost the rest of my cutting and pasting is not doing well. Okay, so in that respect, I want to say this, that people who grow in wisdom become leaders. Okay, now he uses here, by me kings rule and rulers decree justice. Well, that's true, but you know, you look at anybody, you look at Daniel, for example, in the Bible. You know, he's basically a slave working in the king's household and selected for the king's service. Now, he is at the bottom rung, you know, of the people in the king's employ. But as he displays wisdom, he rises to the top. He becomes one of the chief advisors in the kingdom. And that is true in so many circumstances. If you will grow in wisdom, if you will pursue character and the knowledge of God, you will become a leader. And you will be a place to occupy in the Lord's kingdom. You'll become a leader in the church. You should be a leader in the church. Especially, well, it doesn't matter, men or women. We each have roles to play in the church. And you look around and we're all on varying levels of maturity, but the people who are helping with the church have grown and become strong leaders through wisdom. And so I think that's, again, an example of that. All right, so...
What were your words?
I said sound mind, strength, or leadership. Okay. Now, I do want to have a couple questions here. What is unappealing about what wisdom offers?
Money.
What is unappealing about what wisdom offers? Colin?
They're all sort of long-term things, and it's not like an immediate...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're long-term things, generally. They're looking farther down the road. Okay, Debbie?
It requires you to go against what you naturally might do.
Requires you to go against your natural inclinations. Yes. Okay. Anything else on that? Gordon?
It's also against the crowd.
It's against the crowd. Yes. Yes. All right. So I have a joke about that, but I'll leave it. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Okay. Oh no, it's a dumb real estate joke. Okay, so whenever people use that phrase, it brings this back to my mind. Okay, now here's a quote. This is from Robert Deffenbaugh. He says, "She does not tell men. Wisdom does not tell men what they want to hear, but what they need to hear, if they are to be delivered from death." Okay, I didn't put that on the screen, but I probably should have. So wisdom doesn't tell you what you want to hear. Sometimes you'll go to a wise person and say, I want to do this or that, and they'll tell you something, and you just wish you'd gone to a different person who would agree with you. Right? We don't want to go to people who are going to disagree with us, because that would be no fun. And actually, that is how people get in trouble, because they look for advice from people who will confirm their own point of view. And then they say, well, I've talked to people about it. It's just an extra excuse, right? You're bolstering your own foolishness. Okay, what kind of perspective or view of life is needed to appreciate wisdom's value? What kind of perspective or view of life is needed to appreciate wisdom's value? Spiritual, okay. Anything else?
Biblical.
Biblical.
Spiritual.
Okay. Anything else?
Mature.
Long range. Okay, long range. That was the word I was looking for, finally. Okay. Long range. Okay, so the long view. That's, and Cullen mentioned something about that earlier. All right, so let's move on to Madame Folly and talk about what she's offering. Okay, so 2:16. See if I got the right verse. To deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words. What is she offering here?
Flattery.
Okay, so flattery, telling you what you want to hear, telling you how great you are, etc., etc., whether you are or not. Okay, so the next one, Proverbs 6:24-25, to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her capture you with her eyelids. What is she offering here? It's not quite obvious in the words here, but...
Sensual pleasure,
okay. There's something else. I have that, but I have some. I have another, Christy.
Immediate satisfaction.
Okay, immediate satisfaction, yeah, okay.
She's stroking your ego.
Oh, yeah, stroking your ego, yeah. Yes, okay, so I'll give you my words here. I have glamour and promised pleasure, but all of the things you've said are good, okay? So she, like... You know, there is a... Well, Robert Service is the sparkling sinner, right? And there's a glamour to this, right? In the falling. All right, next one. I have sprinkled my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses. All right, so what is she promising here? Pleasure and... Even love, she says. All right, let us fill ourselves with love. Okay, now it's not. This is not a long-term love. Okay. All right. Last one, 9:17. Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Okay, so what? This one, I might have to think a bit about this one. What is she offering here? That is. Enticing.
Rare pleasure that's often missed.
Okay, a rare pleasure often missed, Christy?
Just like secret sin.
Secret sin, okay.
Forbidden sin.
Forbidden sin. Okay, so you're all hitting around it, because I know what this is. Here's what I put. Thrills and excitement. I mean, it's secret. You're in on it. Nobody else knows. Okay? There's a little thrill in that which is hidden. And that's part of what folly does. And we tend to hide sin. It tends to be done in secret. See, because, well, obviously you would be embarrassed for it to be known in public. But it's also there's a thrill of getting away with it. At least we think we're getting away with it, right? Okay, so the next one is Madame Folly's primary weapon. Now, I've got these verses. I'm going to read the verses, and then I want you to see if you can tell me what her primary weapon is. Okay, for the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech, but in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Next one, to deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words. Next one, that they may keep you from an adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words. And one more, the mouth of an adulteress is a deep pit. He who is cursed of the Lord will fall into it. So what is her chief weapon?
Lies.
Deceit. Lies, deceit, what do you say, Christy? Her mouth. Okay, so I put her tongue. But that's the same thing. Okay, her mouth, her speech. Okay. So she's telling lies to you, the deceit, yes. She is telling lies. Okay, saying, oh, this will be just wonderful. All right. Now, here's an interesting one. What does folly's tongue attack? Now, here's Proverbs 9:15. Calling to those who pass by, who are making their paths straight. What does folly's tongue attack? Marlena.
Those who are turning from their sins.
Those who are walking straight. She wants to trip you up. Make your way crooked. I thought that was interesting. I didn't notice that one until just as I was looking at this last night. Who is she after? Right? The guy that's, you know, he seems to be going straight. Got a young man, you see young, we always talk about young men, and Proverbs sort of has this perspective anyway. But you've got a young man who's growing up in life, and he has a fine, clear, you know, it seems like a really sharp kid, and he's got a plan, and he's going to go to school, or, you know, get some training or something, and you talk to him, and then a few years later you find, oh, wait a minute, oh, what happened? He dropped out of school, he's gotten himself into trouble, he's a drunkard, you know, what happened? Well, somebody turned him. He listened to somebody, or he listened to his own heart, and he turned off the path. Folly is always trying to get you off the path, Lee.
But he could be putting his trust or whatever. It could be just in worldly wisdom, like thinking you're wise.
Yeah. Yeah. And he knows better than his parents sometimes. We've seen young men like that. Okay, Rob.
And the crowd, going with the crowd's easier, and they mock the straight path.
Oh yeah, they mock you. You're good, straight. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. Oh boy,
if you give in at all, you're in trouble.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and they will attack you too. The crowd are bullies. They want you to go with them, and if you won't, they're going to try to pull you off that path. All right. Okay, so. Those making their path straight. Okay, so next one. These verses. Okay. So I have a fill in the blank here. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her capture you with her eyelids. Verse 6:25. 7:10. Behold, a woman comes to meet you, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. 7:16-17. I have spread my couch with coverings, with colored linens of Egypt. I have sprinkled my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. All right, so. Dame Wisdom appeals to the, and Madam Folly appeal to the what? So what are in the blanks here? Pardon me?
Heart and flesh.
Heart and flesh. Okay, well, that's good. That's not what I have. But anybody else want to give a try it?
Desire her beauty.
reading my mind here on these words. Marlena?
Do wisdom appeals to the prudent?
Okay, the prudent.
I don't know about
the other one, all right?
Appeals to the eye.
Okay. Oh, she appeals. Okay. Holly appeals to the eye. That's good, too. That's good. All right, anybody else want to give it a shot? I'll give you my answers in a second. This is not a right and wrong. You're not going to get tested or graded on this. Okay, but these have been good suggestions. Okay, so let me give you what Dame Wisdom appeals to the spiritual. Madam Folly to the sensual. When you look at that list, those are mostly about Madam Folly. What is she appealing to? The senses. Okay, or the eye, as you say. The thing that looks good, the thing that looks enticing and exciting. But the spiritual is not thinking about that. The spiritual life, I mean, we want happiness and joy like anybody else, but we want ultimate happiness and joy, not immediate happiness and joy, necessarily. Okay? I mean, immediate would be nice, but it's a side benefit if it happens, right? Okay. All right, now, last question. How beautiful is Madam Folly, really? What do we know about her in 2:17? Says 2:17, she leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Okay, so this one might be a little bit betraying my odd way of thinking. But what do you think? What am I after here? How beautiful is Madam Folly?
Well, she's ugly.
She's ugly. Ultimately, she is ugly. Yes. All right, but can
not
you?
Not so beautiful after all.
Not so beautiful after all. All right, so here's what I put down. She is one who has been married some time. Her beauty is masked and false, just like her. So my point is, you know, she says, it leaves her companion of her youth, or in one of the passages says, well, my husband is long, far away. So she is not a, you know, the picture of Proverbs, that wisdom is a virgin. She is beautiful in a sense, but she's not like the jaded, adulteress of the street kind of thing. Like a harlot. She's not like a harlot. The harlot is experienced. She knows how to give you pleasure, supposedly. And it's all great. But wisdom is seen as, pure and ultimately beautiful. And so that contrast, I think, is there as well. There is an appeal. Folly has an appeal, that immediate sense satisfaction, but it is temporary and it doesn't last. All right, Rob.
Well, from personal experience, I found that the crowd wants to influence the Christian because maybe they're threatened by them a little bit, right? They realize deep down that they're in error, but they're with the crowd, so they're okay. And so they sort of will try and draw you in,
And when you're talking about that, the person who's not in the crowd rebukes the crowd. Like he's a rebuke to them. So that's part of why the crowd wants to draw you into its way of thinking because of your independent stance, you are rebuking them.
Anecdotal thing there is that decades ago, as you know, I quit drinking. But you know, the old crowd was saying, "Oh, just one drink, it won't hurt you. Come on, you don't have to quit altogether."
Right.
They want you to draw you back.
That's right, because you're a rebuke.
I think it's because they're sort of threatened by it.
That's right. All right,
Chris. What do they care? Do they care if I drink?
But they did. That's right. Okay, Christy.
They think it's strange that you don't run with them in the same.
That's right.
Participation, speaking evil of you.
Yes, right. That's right. That's exactly right. Okay, Debbie?
For me, I've always looked at this verse and felt that the significant part was that Madam Folly has forgotten the covenant of her God.
Yeah.
So she at one time knew and embraced the truth.
Mm. Right.
But she's left it.
Yeah.
So I always look at that as like a warning to godly women or girls.
Yeah.
Don't
leave what.
Your root.
All right. All right. That's good. Okay. Now, Crucial wisdom about folly, the end of her ways is. All right, so if her house sinks down to death, her tracks lead to death, the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. For an account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread, and an adulteress hunts for the precious life. Suddenly he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. He does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. So, crucial wisdom about folly. The end of her ways is?
Death.
Yeah, Sheol, yes. Death. Okay, so I have a quote here from Robert Deffenbaugh. He says, I'm the father of five daughters. I do not have sons who need this warning, but the teaching of Proverbs is just as relevant to my daughters. If Proverbs instructs a young man about the kind of woman to seek and the kind to shun, it teaches my daughters the kind of women they should strive to be by God's grace. The world is reinforcing the model of Madame Folly. The popular movie stars, the glamorous models, the women who advertise, all are those whose moral life is sinful and whose wiles and flattery are like that of Madame Folly. Girls are told they can find approval by flaunting their bodies, by wearing provocative clothing, by putting on sensuous perfumes, by adorning their eyelids, and so on. The godly woman, Dame Wisdom, is not the model our young women are familiar with. The words of chapter 31 have a foreign ring when we read, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So that's his statement on it. And then, how can a Christian woman adopt a Proverbs perspective on this wisdom? And so I have two New Testament passages. 1 Timothy 2:9 and 10. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. And then, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. So how can Christian women adopt a Proverbs perspective on this wisdom? Oh, sorry, Augustine.
Decent, godly, inwardly, outwardly.
Right, decent and godly and inwardly and outwardly. Amen. All right, Gordon.
I think you can also reverse everything we've been told, women, men. Like,
yeah.
The woman should be weary. They're tended to secret red and,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
the excitement and everything. You could just reverse it.
Yes.
And the man has to be.
Yeah, well, absolutely. But I'm going to get the men next. I'm going to get them.
Oh, you're going to get them.
I am going to get them, so hang on. All right. Gratola.
Yeah. A woman should not adopt the beauty that comes from outside,
right.
but the one that comes from inside, that comes from Christ.
Right. So the beauty that comes from Christ. And by the way, we're not saying, be sure you look ugly. Not saying that. Okay? Just be clear. Okay, Christy.
The Proverbs, when it's talking about the virtuous wife, she does him good and not evil all the days of
right.
her life.
Yes. Yes, she does her husband good and not evil all the days of her life. The end of this study will get us there to Proverbs 31. Okay. I think Proverbs 31 is understood very well, but there is one aspect of it that I think is missed, and so we'll get into that eventually. Okay. So, all right, so let's see what I put. I can't remember what I put. Pursue spiritual character more than adornment. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't try to look our best. You know, I mean, we do want to present ourselves in a appropriate to the occasion, but it's not the focus. And I've, you know, people, I guess I've observed boys. I've seen boys who will, you know, they're looking for the latest designer clothes and having to look just right and so forth, and they're following the same path. Okay, so let's go to the next question, which is, how should Christian men adopt a Proverbs perspective on this women wisdom? So two verses, Proverbs 5:18 and 2 Timothy 2:22. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. So how should, and we're talking here about the primary lesson. So earlier on I said we can apply this Dame Wisdom and Madam Folly to male and female relationships directly, or we can apply it wider to the area of wisdom generally. Okay, but right now the primary lesson is male and female relationships. How should Christian men adopt a Proverbs perspective on this wisdom? Yes.
They should not be unequally yoked together with.
Okay, not be unequally yoked. That's one aspect of it. Anything else you want to mention on this?
Pursue righteousness.
All right. All right, Marlene.
God is their first love.
God is their first love. All right. So I will give you the answer that I put here. Rejoice in your own wife, flee youthful lusts. And it is, there is a, there, the way of the fool is they may discipline themselves and be willing to submit to marriage, but then they wander off because they cannot be satisfied with the woman God has given them. And they get themselves into even more trouble. Christy.
I don't know if this is too out there, but like if the husband was thinking of himself as the bride of Christ,
yes,
and if he was applying all of the Proverbs as if he were that,
yes,
then
yeah,
go wrong.
That's right.
All of us, the church. But
that's right. Yeah, that's right. So, yes, Marlene?
Well, when a couple are going to get married, they get their sort of counseling.
Yes.
So, like if somebody is not mature enough yet, I don't think that it would be recommended that they marry.
That's true. That's true. That's true. And often it is, it would be wiser to wait for some people. But nevertheless, people will get married. So the point, the wisdom is to focus your love as a man on your wife and make that the pursuit of your life. All right, Ali.
Like a lot of these seem to paint Madame Folly as this like beautiful seductress, but they're also like talking on the physical. There also seems to be this movement away from God, where
yeah,
natural beauty is being cast aside, or not natural beauty, but I don't know, womanhood or men. I don't know how. You
okay.
For like what seems to be ugly and.
Okay, there is a certain, there is an element in our world that is that glorifies disharmony.
Sure.
And you know, even in like in architecture and sculpture and painting, and the ugly is seen as, oh, isn't this wonderful? So that is folly going even further than what we are seeing here. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Debbie wants to add something?
Yeah, like goth and stuff.
Yeah, the goth look and so forth.
But I was also thinking we're coming up to a period in our calendar where.
Yes.
So the devil is worshipped.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Now she's talking about Halloween's coming up, and people will glorify the gross and disgusting as a part of this celebration. It's far worse than it was when I was a child. And it's interesting to me how Christian perspectives of it have changed, because when I was a child, it was just a fun night for kids. It has become far more than that. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So let's.
Just quick.
Sure. Yeah.
Were both these women married?
Well, the Madame Folly is pictured as married, but Wisdom is not.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So it's.
They don't say anything about their husband, right?
Right. No. Well, he's away. That's what it says.
He's
for
what?
For Madame Folly, he's away, so she has opportunity to sin. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So let's.
Wisdom invites him in for a meal.
Right.
Very,
Yeah, so he writes them in for a proper meal at your place setting. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we've had today. We pray for your blessing on our study as we continue to think about wisdom and folly and the book of Proverbs and applying it to our own lives. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll give us wisdom in our own walk. Help us to be faithful to your word and follow everything that you teach us. In Jesus' name, amen.